I was 14 years old, and I was in my mother took us to Sakuri to see Upasni Maharaj. My mother had not told us about Baba. She used to see Baba in Pune not too often. My mother is to go with her sister, that is my aunt, who is Padri's mother. And Baba is to come to Pune, and very seldom my mother met him once or twice. And one day when sitting with the other devotees, they were all with Baba, seated around Baba. And the darshan was over, and Baba told everybody to leave as it was getting late. They all left, and Baba turned around to see that my mother and my aunt were still sitting near him. So he turned around and asked my mother, "Is there anything you want to ask me or say to me?" My mother was a bit surprised and she was a bit surprised because she did not expect Baba to ask her like that. So she started to think, and she remembered that her older daughter is not feeling well, and she did not know what was ailing her. So she asked Baba that what she should do about this. So Baba said, "Oh, take her to Udwara. Udwara is a place, a pilgrimage place for the Parsis. A very big fire temple is there, and it's a pilgrimage place for the Parsis." So my mother was also very surprised, because Baba did not prescribe any medicine or give her any idea to take her daughter to a doctor or anything, just take her to Udwara. So my mother did not ask Baba, did not say, she did not hesitate to say, she did not question Baba, but said, "All right, Baba," and she wanted to obey him. And though in her mind she felt that how is she, the daughter, going to get all right just going to this pilgrimage place, but yet she trusted, she had faith in Baba. Then after a little while, Baba turned round again and asked her, "Is there anything else you want to ask?" My mother again started to think, and think very fast, as we would say. She remembered that there was a Parsi lady who was friends with her. She was a young woman, but not very young. She was going on to be 40. She was nearly 40 years old, and she had not married, and she had told my mother, confided to my mother, and she was rather worried about it, that she was not married as yet. All her younger brothers, sisters, they're all married, and she was not married. So she had told this to my mother. My mother had felt very bad for her. So when Baba asked my mother told Baba about this young woman who wanted to get married, but she was 40 and she has not married as yet. What to do about that? So Baba said, Baba thought for a little while and then said, "All right, take her also to Udwara," means the pilgrimage place. My mother was a bit surprised also again, but she did not hesitate to or question Baba. And she accepted Baba's word, and having faith in Baba, she said, "All right, Baba, as you say, I will take them to Udwara." And so my mother, when she came home after having Baba's darshan, she told us that we were going to Udwara, and of course we were very happy, we girls were very happy to go to Udwara, because we hadn't been to another place for a long time and hadn't had a train journey. So I and my sister were quite happy, and so we also packed and we left Udwara, and after returning from Udwara, and when in Udwara, my sister even forgot that she was not feeling well, and she ate well and she was quite happy and what. She was feeling well, and when she returned from Udwara to Pune, she even forgot that she was ever ill or not feeling well, not feeling hungry, and there's anything the matter with her. She was feeling quite well and happy. So my mother was very happy about this, that it is Baba's word that she obeyed this. Then it so happened that this Parsi lady who had not married for so many years, even as a young girl, an offer of marriage came to her even when she was 40. So then she got married, but my mother was very happy about it, and she knew it was obeying Baba's word that has come about. But this lady did not, my mother did not tell her about Baba, because in those days people did not know about Baba, and especially the Parsis, Russians, were much against Baba. So my mother did not tell her, but my mother, having faith in Baba and obeyed Baba, so these two wishes of hers were granted. My mother had been to a new place, and she told us how nice it was, and that we would like it also, and that we should accompany her. And so we all, I and my sister, agreed, and we went with her to Sakori. Then when we reached Dhond, we had to change the train, and it was 9 o'clock, I think, and we aborded a second class compartment, and but when before the train started, my mother was looking worried, because she didn't like to travel alone, all just be three women in the compartment, alone in the compartment. So she was thinking, oh, if only if there was some gentleman with us, she would feel brave to travel in the night, because it's risky to travel alone like this. And as she was thinking, in just in 2 minutes, a European gentleman came along. He was in a military uniform. He was in military uniform, and he came towards my mother and asked her if he could board the same compartment. Is there any enough place? And would she mind his occupying the same compartment? My mother was too glad about it. My mother was relieved, and she said, yes, he may occupy the compartment. And so we traveled with this person in the compartment. But and so my mother, sister, they kept awake all night talking to this person, who was a very nice person. But I was very sleepy, and so I turned over on the bench and went to sleep, and I didn't care how much they were talking, because I was very sleepy, and I slept all the time till the station came. And when Chitli came, we got down, and this person helped us to carry the bedding and the trunk to the door, and hand it over to the coolie. So we got down, and we went to Sakori, which is rather far from the station. As a tonga, we have to get a hired tonga and travel in a tonga. So we reached Sakori, and in the morning my mother told us, it was early hours of the morning we reached Sakori. And then later, After we had breakfast, my mother told us to go and to the temple. There's a nice temple to go there. There are Brahmin ladies. They will show us around. So I and my sister, we both, holding hands, we went to near the temple, and there was big, lovely arches, and we went in there. There was a courtyard, and we were at the entrance of the temple when as we were crossing the courtyard, a Hindu girl, a very pretty young Hindu girl, came towards us and greeted us and said, "Where had we come from?" We said, "We are from Pune," and she was very happy. And she says, "Come, I'll show you the little temple where Upasana Maharaj and Sai Baba's photos are worshipped." So we went in this very big room, in which was a small stone temple. So when we entered this big room to go towards the temple, we were halfway in the middle of the room when we heard footsteps on the staircase. And this girl, knowing, she says, "Oh, come out quick, come quick to the entrance, to the door of the temple. Mervanji is coming." And we did not know about Baba. So anyway, we both, I and my sister, quickly came to the entrance of the temple and stood there, and we saw Baba. He had just come down from the staircase. That was, I think it was wooden staircase, that's why we heard the sound of his footsteps. But he had quickly come down and he passed right in front of us, and so I could just see his sight face. And Baba looked very beautiful. He was fair and fair skin, and lovely brown curls. That his hair was not long, but there were short curls all around his head, and he had a short shirt on, like a kameez. It's called a peran, and in loose white trousers. He looked at Baba. He was very beautiful, but Baba did not turn his face to look at us. He was looking straight ahead. So, and he walked very fast. So we just had a glimpse of Baba, but that is before even seeing Maharaj's photo or Sai Baba's photo or going near the temple. We first saw Baba. We had Baba's darshan very first. So at the temple of the masters where they were worshipped, we saw beloved Baba, our beloved God, near the entrance of the temple. So beautiful when I think of it now. Then after that, the young Brahmin girl, she took us to the temple, showed us around and other places. And then we went to our rooms again, and it was time for aarti. Aarti means Upasthi Maharaja aarti, which Baba had composed. And in this big temple, this big room where the temple is, this aarti was said. And then we were given, after the aarti, prasad was given. And then we were told we can now go to Maharaja's hut. So all the men, mandali, they walked first and went to Maharaja's hut and entered there, had darshan, and all were sitting around, and we women, all in a big group, all we went, and we were seated around, and we were seated a bit near to Maharaj, and Maharaj turned around and asked us that what our names were. So I told Maharaj my name was Mera. So Maharaj says, "Oh, but in our language we say Meera. Meera, you know, was a great saint. She was a very, Meera was a real lover of Krishna, and late in life, later she was God realized." Then it happened that my sister told her name also, and by that time, then many other women all came and were seated around, and Maharaj was talking, and as he was talking, then he looked through the window and he saw Baba approaching. He said, oh yes, Merwan is coming and I'm waiting for Merwan and I'm glad that he is coming. And so Baba, when he before entering Maharaj's hut, Baba bowed down at the threshold, and bowing down very devotedly, Baba came towards Maharaj, bowing down. So that time also I saw Baba, very beautiful, and he was facing Maharaj, and Maharaj told Baba that, yes, I'm glad you have come, and you can wait. You wait under. Wait under a mango shade. I will come to you. Just now, I'll send these devotees home. Just now, they have just come. I'll send them home, and then I will come to you. Wait under a mango tree. So Baba bowed again, with hand joined, and bowing, Baba went out without turning his back, very slowly, and again bowed at Maharaj's doorstep at the threshold, and took pradakshina. Pradakshina is to go round the house of the devotee. And then Baba went and was seated under the mango shade. So when Maharaj told all the men Mandali to quickly leave, and so the all the men Mandali left, and the women Mandali then later had their darshan and they all left. And as we were going out, as we came out of the hut, Maharaj's hut is built very primitive, in a primitive way, that is, it's all earthen bricks, and all the colors all earth color, and thatch roof, and very simple. We came out of the hut, and we also had pradakshina. And when we came this side of the hut, facing the hut, we looked around to see where Baba was seated, and Baba was under a big mango tree shade. He looked so beautiful, all in white, and it was sitting in Indian fashion, and with one leg like this. And then we started to walk, and the gate was much further away from the hut. The hut was built in an orchard, mango orchard. Some trees were young, some were bigger trees. So we were walking on the pathway that was rather narrow. So we were few women. Women were many, but just one after another, we were all walking, two together, four together. And as we were walking on the pathway, we turned around to see again, as much as we can see Baba. So we turned around again and again to see Baba, but we couldn't stand and watch for a long time, because we were not supposed to. We were told to leave, so we were walking on and turning around to see. And then when we turned around to see, when we reached the gate, we turned around to see Upasni Maharaj come out of the gate and look towards Baba, and he went quickly, walking fast towards Baba, and he was seated in front of Baba. So we still turned around to get another glimpse of Baba and Maharaj together. So that is the third time that I saw Baba in Sakori. This is the third time I saw. And then when we were in the hut with Maharaj, Baba came in the hut. That was the second time. This is the third time. And first time was near the temple, entrance of the temple. Now when we went home, we had our lunch and we had eaten, we were talking, and after a little while we heard a tonga coming, because our room was facing a road, a dirt road, and where the tongas came and went, who had to leave for the station, the tongas came and waited there. So this tonga came, and we wondered who is going in this tonga, And then in 2 minutes, we heard sounds of talking. So we quickly came out of the room and watched to see Baba come quickly, very swiftly, and come towards the tonga. He climbed in the tonga swiftly and told the tonga. But as he was coming, and some Brahmin ladies and there were Parsi ladies all hurrying after Baba to have his darshan. So Baba was walking very fast and climbed the tonga and told the tonga wala, that is the driver of the tonga, to hurry up and to drive the horse quickly. But the Brahmins and ladies and the Brahmin ladies and the Parsi ladies all were now very quickly want to take Baba's darshan. So they were touching Baba's feet, some were putting their head on Baba's feet. Baba was stretching out his hand and saying, no, no, don't. But they did not listen. They just want to touch Baba's feet and have his darshan. And so the Parsi and the Brahmin ladies all having Baba's darshan. But there were many, and so only two by two could take darshan, or one by one, because taking darshan you have to take one by one. So by that time the tonga had started and it was taking speed, so the women were all running after the tonga to touch Baba's feet. Even to the very last they were still running that they could touch Baba's feet to have his darshan. And we standing in the door, I and my sister had no idea that we should also go and have darshan. So I did not actually have darshan Baba, that is touch his feet, but I saw Baba in Sakuri. That is the fourth time that I saw Baba in Sakuri, leaving Sakuri. So that day was our first day in Sakuri, and that day was Baba's last day in Sakuri, and he did not ever come to Sakuri when Upasni Maharaj was in his physical body. That was the last contact with Maharaj, that was Baba's last meeting with Maharaj in physical body, Maharaj's physical body, in Sakuri. So that was our first day, and Baba was leaving Sakuri, and we saw Baba that time. So we were just in time to, in good time to see Baba in Sakuri, and we saw him four times in Sakuri. Baba's aunt was with us in Sakuri, so she saw my sister, who was about 19 or 20, and so she talked to my mother and arranged for this match with my sister to be wedded to Adi's brother Rustam. And my mother also liked the match, so they asked Maharaj, and Maharaj agreed, and they went to Bombay, where Baba was in Manzile Meme. And so my sister had Baba's darshan in Manzile Meme. The wedding was to take place in Ahmednagar. So every preparations were made, and so when the wedding day was nearing, about say 4 days before the wedding, my mother came to Sakuri to fetch me to be at the wedding, at my sister's wedding. But it so happened that before she arrived, 2 days before she arrived, my knee got had swelling on it, and all of a sudden there was no reason. I had not knocked my knee against anything, nor did I fall down anything. Just I had a swelling on it, and it was painful, and I did not know why this happened, because I never had accidents, because I used to ride horses or climb trees and jump here, and yet I never had accidents. So I was very surprised this happened. So when I went for Maharaj's darshan that day, Maharaj asked me, what's happened to your knee? Why are you limping? No, why are you limping? I said, my knee has swelling on it, and it is painful. So So Maharaj said, oh, but then you should ferment it. Ask Durga Mai, a Brahmin lady, she will give you the fermentation. And so the treatment was given me, but it did not get well quickly. By that time, my mother came to Sakuri to fetch me. So she went to Maharaj and told Maharaj that she has come to take me to Nagar for her sister's wedding. So Maharaj said, but why do you want to take her to the wedding? Because her knee is so painful, she can hardly walk, and swelling on her knee, and she won't even be able to climb the train or any carriage. It would be very uncomfortable for her, and I don't think you should take her. She is quite happy here. Do you want to take her? He showed disinclination my mother should take me from Sakuri. So my mother saw that it was Maharaj did not want it, so she did not. So my mother acquiesced and said, all right, I won't take her to Nagar. And so my mother went to Nagar without me, and Baba was in Ahmednagar because Gulmai had asked Baba to be in Ahmednagar at the time of wedding. And Baba had known that Freni, my sister, has a younger sister, and yet Baba never said that to bring me, because they had talked about it, but Baba also did not say that my mother should bring me to the wedding. Now it so happened, I have to tell you about this now, that an offer of marriage had come for me from the other side of the family, that is my father's side. They had come with a plan to get me engaged on my sister's wedding day. So they had come with the engagement ring and clothes, with a beautiful sari and all that is needed for the engagement. But I was not there, so naturally they were a bit disappointed. And Baba, knowing all this, that is, Baba in being all-knowing, he knew about all this. That's why he did not ask my mother to bring me to Nagar, and Maharaj also did not send me to Nagar, because it would have been very embarrassing for me. They have saved me from this embarrassment, because I would have said no, and yet in the beginning my mother wanted this match, because she thought if both her daughters would be married, then she would be free to come and stay with Baba and to serve him in the ashram. So what happened was, after the wedding was over, and it was 8 days now, and all the guests had left, and after 8 days there is another little ritual that they do, you know, after the marriage. So my sister, they were with Baba, and of course the others were with Baba. Baba's mother was there, and Gulmai was there, and they were talking, and the subject came up, and so Baba told my mother, why don't you bring Mehra to Nagar? Mother said, but how can I? Maharaj won't let her come. When I asked him even for the wedding, for her, to bring her for the wedding, he showed his disinclination. So how can I go against his word and bring Mehra? So I don't know what to do. So Baba said, all right, do this. When you go to Sakuri, tell Maharaj that she's your daughter. That is, you must say that she's my daughter, means my mother's daughter. And say that to Maharaj and bring Mehra to Nagar. And so my mother was a bit... looked hesitant. That how can she say that to Upasani Maharaj? But she saw that Baba meant what he was saying, and Baba wanted that way, and Baba is like Baba's order. So she said, wanted to obey Baba. So she said, yes, Baba, I will say that to Maharaj, and I'll bring Mera. And so she came to Sakuri, and then when she went for Maharaj's darshan, Maharaj asked her, what has she come for? What is the news? And like that, you know, they talk that way to bring up the subjects. And my mother said that she has come to take me to Nagar. So Mara said, oh yes, why not take her to Nagar, never mind. So my mother was so glad that she did not have to say what she did not would have felt embarrassed to say. But Baba, knowing that my mother would not have the need to say that, but Baba tested my mother to see if she would agree to what he said to her. So my mother brought me to Nagar, and we went Nagar. But by that time, Baba had moved to Mehrabad. From Nagar to Mehrabad, Baba went. And that's the first time that Baba saw Mehrabad and was in Mehrabad. And he was staying for a few days in Mehrabad. But I came with my mother to Nagar, and we were there for one day. Of course, very first day, they all put on the beautiful clothes that was waiting for that they had all made ready for me, you know, the clothes that I had to wear for my sister's wedding, all the nice sarees and everything. Then we went to the fire temple. And the next day, Baba sent word to say that Baba's mother, Gulmai, Daulatmai, who is my mother, my sister Freni, Baba's aunt, and myself, we six were to come for Baba's darshan, Baba said. So that was my first time, Baba's darshan. That I took Baba's darshan in Mehrabad. It was, we came to Mehrabad, and Baba was on the other side of the road, and he saw that our car has come. So he quickly, he was working with the mandali. There was an old house that was being repaired, so Baba was also helping to whitewash the house. You know, Baba also would work together. So Baba had washed his hands quickly and came quickly, walking very swift and fast. He looked very lovely like that, and he came and came in this big room where we were waiting outside, and then told us to all come inside. And when we all came in, we had all the elders had Baba's darshan, and I was last to have Baba's darshan. And I saw Baba so beautiful like this, you know, I was that feeling I can't express, of course. But I went and sat by my sister's side, and then the subject came up, of course, about this engagement, which was now important question to be settled. So Baba brought up the subject and said, what is it, have the guests left and what? And so Baba's mother said that only the boy's aunt is here, and she's very eager on this engagement. They're very keen on it, and it would be very nice if this match came off, because then both the families would be united. Because and my mother was also agreed for this match and all that. And they, so they were talking to Baba, discussing and all that, and some was saying something. My sister did not like the match very much, so she was saying something. The others also were like kind of arguing, so back and forth, and Baba was also telling them what they should do and all that. But in after discussing some, a little bit, then Baba said, but wait, let us ask Mera what's her wish. It is important to ask her, she's supposed to be asked. So they all turned round to look at me, and here I felt very shy, because they all were looking, turning around to look at me. And so I was asked what my wish was. So I said, I told Baba that I did not want to get married. And so Baba said, see, you've got your answer. Now, don't bring up the subject anymore. She does not want to marry, and so don't discuss about it, and don't... So don't persuade her against her wishes. And so drop the subject, and don't discuss it anymore. And of course, I was quite happy the thing was settled to my liking. We were staying in Ahmednagar for a short time. Baba had told us to stay there. So whenever Baba came to Mehrabad, he would send word and that he had come. So we all girls would be very happy and excited to that we will be going for Baba's darshan. So my mother, myself, and Khorshid and Dolly, we would go to Baba. Gulmaya would go separate. And so Baba talking with us one day, Baba said, if you want to stay in my ashram, you can't stay like that. And so we're wondering, why Baba not? So Baba said, you have to tie your hair with a white cheesecloth, you know, very white cotton kerchief or a scarf, and not a hair should be seen. If you obey those orders, only then you can stay. We said, Baba, we'll tie a hair and whatever you want us to do, we'll do, but let us stay in the ashram, Baba. We want to serve you and serve you. So Baba said, all right, when I call you, I'll come. So Baba, that time, he went back to Bombay and other places. He used to travel much that time. And then when next time he came, he had given us some duty to do when we were in Ahmednagar, the girls. I, Khorshid, and Dolly used to be together, and my mother. So Baba had told us to write God's name for 1 hour. Yazdan, Yazdan. And so, and Baba had said we should do write in very fine letters. So we each one, so we were so happy about it that we're going to do something for Baba. Baba's told us, and so we are going to obey Baba. And Baba had also told us to meditate on in the way that take any photo we want, Sureshtra's photo or his photo, any photo we want, and we can meditate. So we were also trained that way. Baba said, never mind, if your mind wanders, then again try and bring it back and meditate on the photo. So that was for a half an hour, taking God's name all the time. We would be meditating for half an hour, and 1 hour we would write Yazdan, Yazdan. So each one we would be in a separate corner in the big room, and we quietly would be writing God's name. Each one had a writing pad. And then next time we went to Baba, we told Baba that we were doing what he told us to do. So Baba said, yes. Now he wanted to distribute shirts to the poor. So he said we should sew the shirts, stitch the shirts. And he told my mother she should buy enough material for many villagers to whom he wants to distribute these shirts. My mother went to the bazaar and bought stacks of material, and she would be seated in the middle of the room with a big on a big carpet, and she would cut out small shirts for small children, and a size bigger for bigger, and so on, and for the grown-ups. So then we used to have, we had three sewing machines in three corners of the room, and we would start sewing because we wanted to sew fast that we could sew more shirts. But of course I was not a very fast in this sewing, so I would always be left behind, and I would try to race the others. And so we got many shirts done. And when next time Baba came, he would ask us how many the shirts were, So we said about 25 Baba. Baba said, only 25, I want more. You must try and do more because I want to give to more people. So when, after talking to Baba, other things, Baba would talk to my mother and Gulmai, and then he would talk to us also. And then when we returned home, we would feel very happy that we're going to sew more shirts, and Baba wants more shirts. And so we would try and do our best to hurry up with the shirts. So next time when Baba came, he asked us how many we had done. So we said, oh, Baba, it's 90. So Baba said, oh, only 90, I want more. And here we were then. So this thing that when we got home, we tried to now sew faster and faster, because when next time Baba comes, we must have enough shirts, amount of shirts that he would want. And so we stitched as fast as we could, and we did the button and all everything ourselves. We did not buy buttons from the bazaar. They have to be done with hand, those shirts. They are called perans, and they have different kind of buttons made of little bits of material. So when next time Baba came, then Baba asked us, and we said, oh, we have more than 150. Baba said, ah, yes, that is a very good number. And so Baba told my mother, the next day she should come. So Baba told my mother that tomorrow, when she will come to Mehrabad, she should bring prasad with the shirts. So my mother went to the bazaar to buy sacks full of puff rice, baked peanuts, and baked peas. And this is what the villagers love, and it is very easy to hand out because it is not greasy. And so we went to Mehrabad, we girls and my mother and Tonga, and Baba, when we reached there, Baba was playing the drum and singing bhajans, that is Marathi songs, praises of God. And Baba then gestured to us to say, sit for a little while, just wait for a little while here, and I'll just finish the song. And then Baba singing so beautifully, we heard Baba sing praises of God, and he taught the children, the villagers were all gathered around Baba. Many women and men and children were there, and Baba was singing, and they were repeating after Baba. And it was a very beautiful sight. After he finished the song, then Baba got up and came towards us, and we all stood up, and he said, have you brought the shirts and the prasad? My mother showed him the sacks and all that. All these had to be brought in a bullock cart. So there was plenty full of prasad, three sacks full of huge gunny sacks of prasad, and big bundles of shirts. So we all untied the shirts, and Baba was seated on his carpet, and he looked at them, and he liked how they were stitched and all that. He showed his appreciation, and then Baba then called each little child to come and to receive the prasad and the shirt. So Baba gave each one shirts, and the children were so happy to receive these new shirts, and Baba gave them prasad, two handfuls of prasad in their laps. And when the after the little children were given, then the older children were given shirts and prasad, and they were so happy, their faces looked so happy. And then Baba gave the elder people their prasad, and they were all very happy to receive it from Baba. And of course Baba had his reason, because it is nice to receive something, touched by him. And so they went home very happy, all smiling and children laughing and shouting Baba's Jai, and some of them singing the songs that Baba had taught them. So it was very beautiful to see them and to hear them and see that they all were returning home happy. And Baba was also smiling very happily, and he was very happy and turned round to my mother to say that he's really happy that he was able to give prasad to the some of the poor of the village as well as all the other villages. And then Baba said, then now after next time means after a few days, Baba will call us to stay in the ashram. When next time Baba came, he sent word to say that we told my mother that we all could come to stay in the ashram. And of course we were all so happy and excited. We got our trunks and bedding all ready and we came to Mehrabad. And we stayed with Baba in the ashram. We were five of us when we first came to stay with Baba in the ashram. My mother, Naja, Khorshid, there was another Khorshid, and myself. We were in a very nice big room, and there was a very big veranda outside. Very, very large veranda. And on that veranda, Baba used to stay with the four Mandali. Staying at Mehrabad, there were four Mandali who stayed with Baba on the veranda, with this open veranda. There were Rustamasa, this Naja's father, Gustaji, Padri, and Buasaib. It used to be very cold on the veranda outside, and yet Baba stayed all night on the veranda with the Mandali outside, and we were given the nice cozy room to stay in. And Baba, feeling very cold, he could not sleep or rest after 3 o'clock, so early 3 o'clock Baba would sit up with the blanket around him. It was very cold, and he would listen to who's now sleeping. So he would take one of his sandals and throw it at the person who was snoring very hard, one of the Mandali. And of course that Mandali would get up, what's happened? And then Baba said, see, you're snoring very hard. So the Mandali would feel very embarrassed because Baba's sitting up and not resting, and here they are all sleeping. So he would sit up. Then Baba would take another of his sandal and throw the other Mandali, and so Baba would wake up all the Mandali, and they would all be awake early in the morning by 4 o'clock, and Baba would, they would be talking, and Baba would, we would hear Baba talking loudly and laughing and talking with them. Then by 5 o'clock we were told to get up. That is, sometimes earlier than the window, there was no connection to the veranda, no doorway open. There were windows. So our window, Gustaji was told to knock at our window and we would get up. Now it happened that I was not an early riser, so to get up early in the morning was a very difficult task for me, because I couldn't open my eyes. I was very sleepy, and I was great difficulty. I would have my eyes open, wash up, and quickly get the stove, start the stove. So I would light the stove, and Naja would bring the tea water, and we would make tea, and then we had to drink tea in the aluminum glasses. And Baba's also was a mug that was aluminum, and so
we poured the tea in, and all the mugs would be put on the floor, and we would strain this tea in the glasses, and we would take it to Baba, and each of us would take tea, and the Mandali were given their tea. But the tea was so piping hot that we couldn't put it to our lips, because the metal of the aluminum metal would burn our lips. So, but there was in those days there was time enough to sit around with your tea. It was different from today. That is, everything hurry. So that time Baba would be talking with the mug in front of him, and we thought of a new idea. We got a cold pail of water, and we girls used to sit around this pail of water to cool our tea in it. I would quickly bring Baba's mug of tea and put the mug in the cold water bucket and leave it like this for a little while till it cooled, and then to give it to Baba, and so he could drink his tea, and we all also cooled our tea and drank it. And then Naja used to cook dal and rice. We helped her to wash the rice and bring the wood and do the fire, and she knew how to cook, so she would cook. And Baba, we had no breakfast and no milk in our tea, just weak tea, so we would be quite hungry by 11, but Baba would be more hungry because he would walk from quite a distance from this our house, and from the veranda crossing the road to the other side of Mehrabad, and there Baba would talk, and then go near the well, there he had to, so he was walking around and all that, so he would be hungry and not having breakfast, so he would come and say, is the dal ready? So Naja said, no Baba, just 10 minutes more. And Baba said, never mind, if it's even half cooked, it's all right. So then by the time Baba washed his hand, and I bring the plate, it was a brass plate, because we could not use china, because if china plates broke, there was no chance of replacing them somehow. It was that we had to use metal things. So Baba had his dal in that brass plate, and the rice was not ready, so the bread that Gulma had sometimes bring from Amarnagar for Baba, the stale bits of bread, Baba used to break it up in the dal and soak it in the dal, and Baba used to have his light lunch like that. And then later, then he would, when we ate after 11, little after 11, sometimes at 11, Baba had a little bit of dal and rice with us also. Then one day, early in the morning, like always, Baba was early up, and we were up also doing our making tea and other things and all that, sweeping. We were all the time busy. But it was early in the morning, this morning, and we were in our room inside, and we heard Baba singing very sweetly and very beautifully. So we all said, oh, Baba singing, how beautifully singing. And then we heard his voice coming nearer our window, and came nearer and nearer, and then we actually saw Baba in front of the window. But each one, we were telling each one, come quickly, see properly, Baba is dancing. And Baba, we saw Baba so beautiful and lovely that time. He was slim, and his sajra and his open hair, and he was singing, and he was dancing so beautifully, that is, very graceful movements, and singing a very nice song. It was not Kavali or Bhajan, it was a song. And he sang and danced very gracefully, just for a few seconds, and he again went away on the big veranda, and we couldn't see him anymore. But that is the one time that we saw Baba sing and dance also. After some days in the ashram, one day Baba came in our room, and said that none of us, but he pointed out to me specially and said that I must not read or write. So that was my order, and also he gave me order that after some time Baba planned to go to Bombay, and we packed and we went to the Ahmednagar station, and there were very few people on the station, and Baba looked so beautiful in the black kamli coat and sadra sandals, but his beautiful hair were loose on his shoulders, and Baba had kind of a turban which he had tied himself on his head, and he looked like a Maharaja. And Baba, seeing that there were not many people, and Baba naturally always felt a bit, how do you say, restless, because train had not come and he was waiting in time, so he was walking up and down, and he was singing softly. When he went further away where there were no people, then he would sing a little bit loudly, and when coming back again he would sing softly. So Baba had his walk also, and he couldn't do without singing, because Baba loved singing. He had a most beautiful voice for singing, and so that is why he must have missed singing all these years. He couldn't do without singing. Now, on the Ahmednagar station, when the train came in, the Mandali quickly found a nice compartment that was quite empty. And it was a very small compartment, just one seat and a berth on the top. And so Baba boarded the train, and he was inside the compartment, and Gustaji was with him. And then we were waiting outside for that, because the Mandali were looking for our compartment. So we were waiting further away from Baba's Baba's compartment. So what happened was Baba sent Gustaji to say that he want. And Gustaji said that Baba wants Mera. So I was called, and I went to Baba's compartment, and I didn't know why Baba wanted me. So in those days I was a bit shy, and so when I entered Baba's compartment, I saw Baba was leaning against the wall of the compartment, and his legs were stretched out, and he was sitting relaxed. And when I came, he smiled slightly and said, "Come and sit down at my feet and massage my feet." So I sat near his feet to massage, and so as I was massaging his feet, just about a second or two, Baba said, "You know, if you massage my feet every day without missing one day, I will make you like Baba Jan." So hearing this, I was rather startled, because I had never thought of becoming like Baba Jan. And so I looked up at Baba, and I didn't know what to say, and I said, "Yes, Baba." But of course Baba knew that I would never be able to massage his feet every day of my life without missing one day. It was impossible. Anyway, Baba was in that mood that time, and if I did have the chance to to massage his feet without missing one day, his word would have come true. But I was not, wanting to be like Baba Ji. I never had thought about that. I just wanted to love and serve Baba and be with Baba in his ashram. One time for for some time, for some days I was in Sakuri, and every day there used to be aarti in the temple, and after that we were to go to Upasthi Maharaj's hut. So one day we all went for aarti, and we women all had to stand on one side and the men on facing Maharaj and on one side of him. After the Brahmin worshipped Maharaj's feet and offered garlands and flowers. A Brahmin elderly lady and wanted to present a gold ring to Maharaj. Maharaj saw the gold ring and he was startled. He said, "What? You bring gold ring to me? I who don't even wear proper clothes, I'm only using a sackcloth, and how do you can you imagine me wearing a gold ring? How can I ever wear gold? I don't want that ring. I won't wear it." But the lady was very downcast, and she knelt down for a little while facing him, and she was very she felt a bit disappointed and looked at Maharaj. So Maharaj felt sympathy for her, and then he said, "All right, you want me to wear the ring? All right, put it on my toe." So he put out his foot, and the woman put it on his toe. It was not fitting well, so Maharaj pulled the ring. Was of pure gold, that's why it could be made big, because it's made such a way that it can be made big or small to your size. So Maharaj made it a little looser, and then I think Maharaj himself slipped it on his own toe. But the woman also was touching it, Maharaj also, and both together put it on his toe. And then after that, then the aarti was sung, and we always, after we sang the aarti, the time was now to take darshan after the aarti. So all the men were taking darshan of Maharaj's feet, and the gold ring was on Maharaj's toe. They all took darshan of Maharaj's feet, and all the men went out, and then the turn for the women came to take darshan. And so all the women looking at the gold ring, that they knew that Maharaj is not going to keep that gold ring, and so they were wondering what is going to happen to that gold ring. Is he going to give it away, or what is? So each one were feeling like that. And so when all the Brahmin women and young women and girls and everybody took darshan, and there were very few left. After taking darshan, they all leave the hut, and there were just a few left, about five or six of us. And then my turn came, and I knelt down at his feet. I took darshan, and I was about to leave when Maharaj stopped me, and he said, "Wait, take this ring and wear it." And he held it out to me, and he took my finger and put it around my finger. I put it on my finger. And so the ring, which I had not thought of getting it, but so I was very happily surprised, and after smiling at Maharaj in way to say thank you, but I did not say thank you, I smiled and looked happy, and Maharaj said, "Always keep it on your finger, don't part with it." I said, "All right, Maharaj," and then I got up and went, and then the other ladies all had their darshan. And then we all went to our respective homes. Being with Baba in Bombay, no, to bring the scene round to... In 1925, after our return from Bombay, it was the month of March, and it was one afternoon, Baba sent Gustaji in to come to our room and tell us that if any of us had a gold ring, we should give it to Baba and he will in exchange give another ring to us. I had the ring on my finger. I tried very hard to take it out, but it would not come out. And Gustaji and I together, we tried very hard to pull it out. When at last we did got it out, sent it with, gave it to Gustaji, and he took it with him to Baba and gave it to Baba. Then after just a minute or two, after 2 minutes, Baba came in, and we all were in the room, and Baba called me, and there was a window sill on inside the room on which we had Baba's photos. And there Baba stood and he called me, and he gave me the first ring which I had sent, and he said, "I'm returning your ring, put it on and don't take it off." I said, "Yes, Baba," and he put that the first ring on my finger which I had sent to him, and then he showed me another ring, and that was also a gold ring, and he said, "Wear this ring also, and don't part with it, keep it on your finger always, it is from me." And so he put it on my finger. To this day, I'm still wearing the two rings that Baba had blessed. Later on, I realized that Baba wished me to wear the ring that had come from him. So he had asked for it and then gave it to me. Also, I think Baba wished to see if I would part with the ring for his sake, even though Maharaj had given it to me and told me not to part with it. Baba tested me to see if I would obey him. Baba loves to be obeyed. Jai Baba.
Much later, I realized that Baba wished me to wear the ring that had come from him, and that is why I think he asked for it and then gave it back to me. Also, I think Baba wanted to see if I would part with the ring for his sake, even though Upasani Maharaj had given it to me. I feel happy I obeyed my beloved Baba. Jai Baba. Love to you each, Baba lovers, from your Mera Zar family. Jai Baba. Thank you.